Look, I'm going to level with you. I have my own things to deal with. After all, we are about to have a lovely landing.
The Orphans, an original cinematic audio drama, is now available.
And now, The Orphans Facility, an exciting new prequel series. Catch up with Season 1 with new episodes of Facility coming bi-weekly.
The following program is presented by The Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 141. I am your stupid, awesome analyst, John Starr. And with me is the hard man with hard opinions, Andrew.
Hi.
We have our king baby duck, Evan.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches.
And returning for another week, our AAC security guy, Greg.
Yeah, security guy Greg here. Woo-woo.
And
hi, Greg.
Hi.
And finally, we have a returning member to the cast. We have our fangirl, Victoria.
Hi, been a while.
Newly wed and yes. Married.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I can have a life now. I don't have to spend every dime on a wedding and plan and pulling my hair out from planning a wedding.
And now you can spend every dime on your subscriptions to Funimation VRV and
that
Crunchyroll.
After the honeymoon, but yes.
And finally, opening up the Nakery.
Yeah, that's right. Get on that.
Welcome back.
Oh,
welcome back, Nakery joke.
No.
Womp womp.
The funny thing is though, like we're going to California for the honeymoon. Like that's been decided a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
California.
Like originally it was like, you know, totally going out there to go to Disneyland, but I mean totally also trying to catch the Critical Role characters out in real life.
Oh.
Like if Travis was talking about one episode where there was a person wearing a how do you want to do this sweatshirt. And he, like, pulled over to run up to them and talk to them. And he realized how terrifying he was because a freaking linebacker is running towards them. But he was like, your sweatshirt's awesome! And she realized who he was. And it's like, I want the sweatshirt just for this purpose of when I go to California. I want to meet him, guys.
You have to walk around all of California.
I would do it, though, if it meant meeting
from
Travis
top
Willingham.
To bottom.
Like, without having to pay for it? Yes.
Have you tried traveling through Los Angeles in a car? Because that is just a workout in itself.
Yeah. Have you been to California? It is just a terrible state.
I actually didn't mind it.
Sorry, Wicked fan Gerardo and everybody else who we don't know is from
California. I know, we have so many fans from California. I'll get to Anime Expo one day and make fun of your state.
Oh my god, you know, this is one of the years where I'm really regretting not going to Anime Expo because first they announced that one of my favorite J-pop artists, Sayuri, is going to be performing. She's the one who did the end theme to Erased. Mm. Now, they have announced that Anime Expo is going to play host to the very first concert in America of M-Flow. And M-Flow is like one of the greatest hip-hop artists on the goddamn planet. Like, this is the band, or rather, this is the group that the Black Eyed Peas stole everything from.
Damn. All
right. I really want to go to Anime Expo as well because all of the artists that I follow go there. So I would get to get commissions and meet my favorite artists.
Well, how about this? Why don't we try to make a plan for next year to be the year that we go to Anime Expo?
I would very much enjoy that. So, yeah, that has potential.
All right. You heard it first here on Wicked Anime.
We are going to try to invade
Anime Expo 2019.
Oh, 2018 is during my birthday.
Other news, this episode is going to be focused on a brand new premiere of something that happened last night from the time we recorded this, but not now. We want to do a little bit of a spotlight on my favorite anime, Fooly Cooly.
Yeah, Jonathan and I stayed up until midnight and watched the new premiere episode of season 2. And
yeah.
It was
It was fantastic.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It was an experience.
It certainly was. But first, we have a bunch of other stuff to do to get there, and we have to start by ringing a news bell.
Yeah, I didn't... okay, so you guys...
You're neglecting news bell time.
To understand that I'm traveling to Jonathan's house now, and that was never the case before, and the bell was always with me. So now that I forget news bell chime all the time.
So why don't you bring it and leave it? Recording is
here. Yeah,
because he's got to bring it the first time in order to do
that's
that.
That's true.
And I also usually record from home as well, or I can, but I've been coming here lately. So no news bell, John. News. That's what the old news bell.
It's classic. Like. Sorry, Ian. So there's something on a spotlight that I want to bring up first in news before Evan.
Sorry. I had to dig through all of my stuff here to find my whistle.
Before we get into the bulk of the news, which Evan is fielding, I want to spotlight something that I just saw on Facebook. You know how, like, GameSpot has been doing a lot of anime advertising recently? They just did one for a live-action Cowboy Bebop TV series, which I, like, really don't know the validity of that.
I'm so scared of the live-action stuff. Like,
this is something that I remember they reported about this last year. And I feel like if it was to be a TV series, it might work better than a movie would.
Yeah.
Because that way you can expand on the characters more.
Yeah.
I mean, of all characters that could run a TV show.
Well, and Shinichiro Watanabe said, no chance in hell is it getting a live-action Western release if it's not what I approve.
Huh? Yeah.
So, and so they're like, here's $1 million. And he's like, I have approved.
I honestly have still yet to watch the live action Fullmetal Alchemist movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it came out during wedding prep, and I'm so terrified.
Evan says it's good.
Upset.
I say otherwise.
I enjoyed it for what it was, okay? So just go in knowing that you're going to be getting a very, very... very abridged version of the majority of the story. Rather, half of the story.
See, that's why I'm scared. Because I love it so much that I'm like, no, please don't hurt my show, please.
Oh, they don't hurt it because it still exists. Brotherhood is still there to save you.
I know.
So, we have Kenichi Sanada's Bean Bandit anime Kickstarter campaign reaching its initial goal, which means it'll be turned into a 5-minute anime. But... if the money keeps on rolling, we won't just get a 20-minute episode, but if it reaches $800,000, we're going to get a 45-minute episode, which was the original length of the original Bean Bandit.
That is the and I have that one. I have the original 45, and if you guys haven't seen it, it's absolutely phenomenal, and it's very 80s. And it is fun to watch, and I have not contributed to the Kickstarter yet, but I will, because
I'm waiting for the 48-hour period.
Because Bean Bandit is so awesome.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the 48 hours too.
So let's see, what else do we have for news? Well, we have one of the Fleming brothers' favorite manga. I can't remember which one, because every time I record and they talk about it, I can't tell the difference between Andrew and John Star.
Is it Elfin Lied? Because that would be mine.
That's twin racism.
No, it's The Promised Neverland, getting a TV anime adaptation this coming January.
Yeah.
And it's going to be featured on the Noitamina block, and Noitamina is known for amazing anime series.
Well,
so if this is going onto that block, then it's going to be phenomenal.
Okay, so that's me. That's Andrew. That's Andrew's favorite. I've been reading Promised Neverland, and the only way I will accept Promised Neverland to become an anime is if it is the best quality and the most amazing show ever, because over the past, I don't know how many months I've been reading it, as far as the manga volume sold here in the US go, it is probably, it's creeping up there as one of my favorite animes ever, favorite mangas ever. And the next volume comes out this month in June, so I'm super excited.
Okay, so I have the list of other anime series that have appeared on the Noitamina block. So let's see if you think that these are high quality shows. So we have Eden of the East.
Yeah, it is
a high quality show.
That was Bones, right?
Yeah.
Bones, Studio Bones did that.
No, that was Production IG.
Oh, really?
And it is a pretty good anime.
All right, we have Erased.
Okay,
that was Studio Bones, right?
Erased? No, that was A1 Pictures. Honey and Clover, which is a series that I always recommend everyone who goes to college to watch.
Also Studio Bones.
JC Staff. Kids on the Slope.
Bones.
I actually don't remember which one that one is.
Actually, that one is the Cowboy Bebop. I think that's IG.
Production. No, that was MAPPA. No, MAPPA did the Kids on the Slope.
Okay.
Did they?
Is a phenomenal anime. All
right. Paradise Kiss.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Oh, that one's amazing. It's a great fashion anime, but it has Franz Ferdinand do the end theme, which is what made me start to watch it in the first place. Ping Pong.
Okay.
The Masaki Yuasa one. Yeah. Princess Jellyfish.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Psycho Pass.
Oh, awesome.
Saikano, How to Raise a Boring Girlfriend.
Yep. That's one of my favorite harems ever now.
All right.
That's a fantastically quality show. The animation quality on that show is so top-notch. It's unbelievable.
Mm. Punchline.
Yeah, okay. Punchline was pretty high quality.
Yep. Terror in Resonance.
Oh, wow. I remember that one.
Yeah, we never finished it, but it was pretty good.
And there's a bunch more, but I feel like those are the ones that I personally know off the top of my head.
Interestingly enough, none of them are shonens, and Promised Neverland is done by Shonen Jump, or distributed by Shonen Jump, at least. And it's going to be really interesting because the art style is very, very unique. So it's going to be interesting to see how they translate the unique art style into the anime version. I really, really enjoy the uniqueness of the character designs. Kind of in the same sense that where all the characters... Jonathan, I know you read the manga about Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
How every single character looks completely different.
Mm, yeah.
That's kind of how they did it for Promised Neverland.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a little bit of a mesh with some of the characters in Battle Royale when you have some side characters that aren't super important. But the main key characters...
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's kind of irrelevant. But I just hope that they do it justice, because this is a manga that... this is the first manga in a really, really long time that I feel so passionately about that if they turn it into an anime and they ruin it...
It's kind of... Hurt.
Huh?
It's gonna hurt.
Well, kind of like Terraformers. When Terraformers came out, the first season was absolutely unbelievably amazing. And then season two came out, and it was a different production company, a different director, a different studio, and you're just like... And for an action horror, it was like brightly lit, bright colors. They moefied it, and I was just like, what is happening? Where'd my anime go?
I still feel like that One Punch Man made fun of that fact in the first episode when you saw him beating up all the weird cockroach people that were coming up from the ground, and then he wakes up from the dream, and then he goes and beats them up again, and they're like total pussies.
The only one I know from that is from that list was Princess Jellyfish, which, I mean, as an anime, it was really pretty. Very what the fuck is happening, but it's really pretty. And the art was beautiful, but... I'm a little worried now, because that was lots of colorful, pretty things, and you were just saying you don't want, colorful...
Well, I could see, though, here's the thing.
Neverland could get away with...
See it as being a very colorful thing. Once you get to know the story and everything like that, you'll understand why it's colorful, but it shouldn't be.
Yeah, because there's two different... It's interesting because there's two different worlds that are existing on top of each other.
The more complaint about the Terraformers was the fact that it looked the second season looked completely different from the first, and it ruined the atmosphere that it was initially trying to create.
Yeah, that was the first time when translation from manga to anime was so utterly disappointing that it was hateable. Hateable! Oh, but, so we'll see. But, oof, I'm gonna do it again. Everybody who listens to the Wicked Anime Podcast needs to go out and buy the manga volumes to Promised Neverland. It is absolutely phenomenal. You will not be disappointed.
How many volumes are there?
So far, there's three, and the fourth one comes out in June this month. So it's really easy to catch up. You know, it's one of those series that you don't want any spoilers, because the whole series is based on surprises and shocks that bring you through each checkpoint and milestone.
Cool.
The way volume 3 ended, I'm just like, when is Volume 4 coming out? Because it was so phenomenal that they ended the volume the way they did. I was like, what's going to happen?
I'm dying over here. Yeah.
So, finally this month.
Cool. The covers look cool. Sorry, I'm curious now.
It's really good. It's really, really good.
All right, so we have the synopsis for the upcoming theatrical adaptation of My Hero Academia.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I am curious as to what it is, only because I want to know whether or not a My Hero Academia movie is going to be canon, or you need to see it in order to see the rest of the series.
So, my kind of...
showing in the cover for it's
yeah,
pretty.
It is pretty. My initial impression of the movie is that it's a side story. So it's a movie that takes place during the adventure of My Hero Academia, and it's somewhere in the middle, and it's not important or integral to the actual plot line of the main story. Right? So
somewhere in the middle, like which season or
probably the current season, probably between season 2 and 3.
Okay.
It's a beach episode movie.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Can you read us the synopsis?
Right. Okay, here's the real one. All right. All Might gets an invite from an old friend to attend the world's premier science gathering on a man-made island overseas. However, a mysterious villain attacks the expo, and a plan to shake up the hero organization begins. Can Deku save everyone from the unprecedented crisis? A fucking course he is.
Is that what it says right in the synopsis?
I'm sure it does. That sounds legit.
Except the F-bomb in there, I think.
No.
Oh, you're kidding me, Greg. You're kidding. Thanks for contributing to our podcast.
Oh, you're welcome. Security man's doing his job.
Again, I mean, F-bombs are my job, so...
So, it does sound like it's not... You don't have to see it in order to see the rest of... the rest of the series.
Hopefully the villain is better than a Naruto movie villain.
Probably not. If I had to guess, probably not. It doesn't sound like it's a flashback thing where it's like in the past where All Might is before he's All Might because Deku is in it. So,
although it could flashback since it's an old friend.
Yeah.
You could find out something about his past.
So seeing it, the benefit of seeing this movie is you get to learn about All Might. Not necessarily that there's a good villain or that there's a story progression or anything like that. You get to learn more about All Might, and that's probably going to be the takeaway from the movie.
Do you think, like, the way he looks at when he's not transformed into All Might? To me, he just seems like he used to be a drug addict. And I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's the joke I make. Like, when I first saw him actually transform to that, I just went, yeah, you got some meth.
Yeah, he looked like a super meth head to me.
He looks more like a heroin addict to me.
You had some smack.
I won't spoil anything, because... there is a point in the manga where there are some flashbacks with All Might. I will say that. So
please don't. I'm like,
I'm not going to say anything.
No, I know.
I'm not going to say anything. So yeah,
for the listeners, I'm like waving my hands furiously.
Yeah, it's adorable, it's, actually.
It's and
flailing with the cat of your headphones.
Our resident half giant.
Hodor.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm Hagrid now, yay.
We're just naming tall people in fiction.
And go.
You've been mostly dead all day.
Oh, jeez. Cool. My Hero Academia movie.
I wonder if it's going to have a simul release. I wonder if Funimation will do like something where you can actually watch the new anime while it... like right when it starts.
Oh, totally. It freaking matters. Absolutely they will. It's their cash cow. It's their money grabber right now. They're saving the industry. So yeah, absolutely they are.
Awesome.
Did anybody get to watch episode 47, which came out last night?
No.
Yeah, I watched it.
I mean, I've read it in the manga, but I haven't watched the actual episode yet. All I know is that all of season 3 is going to be absolutely amazing.
Just like cliffhanger after cliffhanger after cliffhanger, and I'm like, stop this, I'm going to have a heart attack.
I was very happy to see in the episode before that, though, when they all got their disguises, you know, to...
Hola, hola, hola!
When, like, Ida is trying to be normal and blend in, and he's like, look at that female with that huge rack over there! That's just what he yelled.
Did any of you guys happen to watch the behind the scenes with the English dub people?
No.
And they show their reactions to what their costumes, what their disguises are?
No, that's a thing?
Yeah. J. Michael Tatum looks at it and is like, why the fuck do I look like the villain from Annie?
I still don't understand, like, Deku's costume completely. I think they might have explained it, but I think it's just...
That's more of a Japanese culture thing.
Like, he looks like a green rabbit.
He's like a Yakuza or something like that.
Wait, do you mean...
His like, superhero costume.
Oh, his superhero costume.
Yeah, it's like a green rabbit or something like
that. It looks like All Might.
Yeah, because the mask has a big smile on it, and the rabbit ears are, like, All Might's bangs.
He never, like, puts... Why don't I remember a smile on the costume?
He got rid of the hood, like, immediately.
Oh, okay, that's why.
Well, no, it wasn't that he got rid of the hood. It got destroyed, but he just was like, this is fine.
He literally had it for one episode.
Yeah.
And then he's never had it
again. Well, I'm kind of glad. I hope they upgrade his costume, because to me it's just, like, lackluster.
That's the point. It's absolutely the point. Just wait.
Okay. I hope it turns out to be, like, a mechanized, like, badass costume.
It's... The whole development of everybody's costumes is a really, really interesting aspect of My Hero Academia.
And it will be in season 3.
Yeah, it should be in season 3. So it'll be interesting to find out.
See, you guys seem to be ahead of the game here, and I kind of hope that they upgrade. I know it's a sick costume already, like Bakugo's costume. Do they upgrade that?
Maybe? Well, I'm not going to tell you anything. But
stop poking for spoilers. Jeez.
But that's my job.
Yeah.
That was the creepiest.
Easy way to sites sound alike.
Security man poking for spoilers.
You're not going to get them here on Wicked Anime.
Should he be preventing spoilers?
Well, I play both sides of the field, you know?
He has a warrant.
You just have to slip him a 20 and he'll let you in.
Yes.
Where are you
working? Hush, hush. Hush. It's hush, hush.
Okay, what do we have next?
All right, so I think we've got the first bit of strange news, or the only bit of strange news I have here.
Only?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe the next piece might be strange, too, depending on your feelings on it.
Okay, let's
see. But who hears about the melons? And I'm not talking about the titties.
I wish you could see the look I just gave the computer.
It was a pretty, like, I'm very disappointed.
Well, it was funny because...
I'm picturing Victoria with big smile and two thumbs up. Am I really close?
She has the smile, but she has, like, this anger... She has this anger smile. It's funny how her little nuances shine through. She's always smiling, but her anger smile is...
Me, I can't not.
She's got that hate smile going on.
Yeah, it's her hate smile.
But does she have the thumbs up? Is that that's the most important thing?
Yeah. 144.
So Victoria's hate smile is, like, her regular smile. She has this very nice, like, very, very bright, like, lots of teeth in her smile. But her hate smile is her lips are closed. She does not show any teeth. And so you know when she is angry about something, she's still smiling.
So it's like the Grinch smile when he thinks of the horrible, awful, wonderful idea.
I'm, like, crying.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Oh, no! Did I put on makeup for that?
Do you need something?
Mr. No, Grinch.
I just have to be more careful.
I don't know the lyrics, but I like my voice.
All right. Tell us about the melons.
Melons. So it was about a week and a half ago where a set of two Yubari melons fetched a record-breaking 3.2 million yen at an auction in Hokkaido, Japan, which is, in American dollars, $29,000.
Okay. So then, I guess the next initial logical question to this is, why?
Why?
Yeah. Like... Were they giant melons, or like...
Did they feed the whole country?
Right? That I understand, but...
I don't quite know, because I'm looking at the pictures. Maybe there's, like, this sort of perfect roundness to it.
Are they made of gold? Like, what happened?
They were one-piece melons.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, that'd be amazing.
Maybe if...
The gummy fruits.
Maybe if they... If at the auction, at the beginning of the auction, it started out as one melon... but then it like morphed into through osmosis, and they're like, oh, infinite melons. There's only two now, though. Is there a reason, Evan?
Is no reason. All that I know is that the melon will be on display until the month's end, and then the melons are going to be sliced and given away for free.
So why did somebody pay $23 million for it in the first
place? 29,000.
29,000 or 3 million yen. I'm getting my currency.
Because they're rich motherfuckers, okay? They can do whatever the hell they want.
Just to give it out for free?
There wasn't like a Love Live sticker on it or something like that?
There's like two stickers on there, but they are not Love Live.
They're certified fresh.
Yeah.
You know, when he said 3.2 million yen, I like over-converted thinking, wow, it's a lot of money. And then when he lowered his voice to 29,000, I was like, oh, okay.
You know, but for fruit!
For fruit?
Two pieces of fruit.
I know, 8 that's... 8 pounds, according to this.
That's
it. I mean, that's still pretty heavy, but like...
I know those are the. Those
oh,
are,
I thought you were. Those I thought you melons. Were converting into pounds, like European money.
No,
that would be even less, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, it would be more like 5 pounds. $29,000 would convert to like 5 pounds.
Like, that seems like a reasonable price.
I mean, actually, that would be a pretty heavy.
I'm sure Wicked fan. I'm sure Wicked fan Scott will scold us for our terrible money conversion to euros.
I'll get right on that.
I'm just trying to understand this, because that, like, why?
What was the auction? What was the auction even for? Was it like a charity auction?
No, just for fruit. It's apparently a monthly auction they do for, like, some of the most expensive fruit out there.
I am baffled.
Do you, like, so when you eat this fruit, can you poop gold? Like, is that how it works?
Or can you suddenly fly or breathe underwater?
There's
either
cancer. Even if there was... maybe like a 39% chance of pooping gold. Then that's like you would. So like so you would pay that much money for a 39% chance of pooping gold because then you could make more back.
Yes.
Thing is though, that's gonna hurt.
But you're not gonna swap.
But then you would have a lot of.
It's a malleable metal.
It could be gold flakes, so it doesn't have to hurt.
No.
Then you have to collect that.
Yeah, because then you have to go.
Regardless of a conversation right now. You take a fish scooper and just like...
You have to understand that this is the only reason that we can rationalize this in our minds. This is like, oh, obviously it makes you poop gold.
It has to. Like, what? Why would you spend that much on a melon?
Two melons.
Two melons. Right. That makes it better.
Well, what if instead of gold, it's like Red Bull and it just gives you wings? Eat a melon, you gain wings, you know?
Like real wings?
No, it'll be like those Japanese like anime wings. Like,
I mean, that'd be beautiful.
Okay, but then would you lose the wings after you poop?
Yes.
So then it would be bad poop.
No.
It's not like pooping gold where you get something out of it.
You would have to force yourself to be constipated in order to get those wings forever.
Well, does cheese and melon work?
And you can never eat Mexican food again.
Yeah.
Well, like, food you digest through your body, right?
I'm okay with that.
So you would lose the ability once the food leaves. That's why you're going to eat more of the magical fruit. It's like a video game type thing.
I still don't think that's worth $29,000.
That gives you wings and you can fly?
Yeah!
Do you know anybody who can fly?
Twice? No!
Like, it's worth $29,000.
No.
Well, anyway, it's not if you eat the entire melon, you only eat a little bit of it.
Eat pieces of melon, but then it would start to rot.
But then the one you cut is going to get rotten. You're still going to eat it because you want to fly.
What if you were to freeze it? Like if you were cut into pieces, then you were freeze the melon.
Can you freeze fruit?
Yes, you can freeze
it. Yeah, you can freeze fruit.
Oh, I know like some fruit get bad if you freeze them.
You heard that, ladies and gents? Freeze the melons. That's how you win.
And this is such an interesting conversation that you're running from. I'm more fascinated by the conversation now than I am the actual melons.
I love this podcast.
It's always strange.
But you get the best content.
All right, Evan, what's the next maybe strange news story?
Okay, so this is something I would like to label as, that's kind of sexist, Japan.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So I'm going to read you the stories from the Washington Post. Think of the children. That's the argument a senior member of
Washington
Japan's
Post.
Liberal Democratic Party made this weekend when explaining why men shouldn't have to watch their own children. In a speech, Koichi Haguada said raising infants and toddlers is a job for mothers. He called the idea of fathers serving as primary caregivers, quote-unquote, unwelcome. We speak of cool ideas such as gender-equal society and men's child-rearing, but they are unwelcome ideas for children, the 54-year-old executive acting secretary general of the LDP told an audience in the city of Miyazaki. Children under two need an environment in which they can stay with their mothers, he said. Hagoachi acknowledged that there is little data on whether fathers are unfit to parent young children, but he said infants must want moms no matter how you look at it. I think it is a bit strange if they choose dads, he said. So it sounds to me like this guy does not want to, like, raise his own kid, and he's like,
I say this guy is definitely hated by his kids. Like, absolutely hated by his kids.
If he has kids.
This isn't, like...
He doesn't deserve kids. Like, what?
This isn't Japanese culture, I assume, right? Or
is this is Japanese culture.
I mean...
It's the only way we would talk about politics. Especially something from Washington Post.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't call it politics. It's just this dude who just feels like he's saying something sexist, so he doesn't have to take care of the kids this weekend while mom's out.
What?
He's not just some guy, though. Like, if he was just some guy on the street, and everybody would be like, "Well, whatever." And then, but like, if he's on some sort of council, so therefore it's politics.
Oh God.
Yeah, that is true.
But every country is different, though, with their cultures and
standards. Oh, absolutely.
Well, yeah. I mean,
no,
Japan
has gotten way past like the. Come on, we've kind of gotten past this, haven't we?
No,
I mean,
not Japan.
I mean, this guy needs to watch like Sweetness or Lightning, or try to get him like a Japanese subtitled version of My Two Dads. I mean, come on.
Is there an asterisk to his comment in saying except if the mother is dead?
He doesn't say anything like that.
What, does the dad have to just get remarried real fast and have this
real fast?
I think so.
I have kids.
That's hard enough. Do you know how hard it is in the
kids.
First place? Do you know how hard it is in the first place for them to even make babies? Like, the fact that somebody even wants to take care of them should not be the difference.
See, I know someone from, like, high school whose mom was worse than anything. Like, this lady was really not that smart about anything. Mm-hmm. And then there's definitely single dads that take care of their kids.
Oh, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
There was, like, one of the guys I went to high school with, his mom, for his birthday, he's deathly allergic to onion rings and onions, made onion stir fry for his birthday.
Huh? We've heard this story before.
Yeah. Crazy lady also decided to, she didn't know how to cook lobster. She didn't know it said boil. She thought it said broil and threw live lobsters into an oven.
Oh.
Yeah. So, there's mothers that, you know, need a little help.
There's parents all over the world that have no idea what they're doing and should not be parents in the first place. This guy is probably one of them.
Definitely one of them.
So
there are terrible people
on
both
sides. Single dads
that
take care of kids, and then there's single moms. Like, it happens, but like
this news story just basically comes down to there are people that should not be parents,
and
this guy is one
of
them. In the same way that there are moms that should not be parents and mom and dads that should not be parents, this guy should not be a parent.
I should not imagine being his wife. I'd be like, fuck you, goodbye. Like, you take the kids for a month. Have fun.
Unless she's like, yeah, he's right.
There are people like that. Like,
well, I mean, if they've mutually agreed to it, then whatever. Like, that's what...
But that's not to
say
that you push that.
But don't try to say, oh, this is what all parents should do. No, this is not what you should do.
But then again, this whole thing would be in retrospect anyways, because he's 54 years old. The chances of him having a child under the age of two is pretty slim to none.
Maybe it's because when his kids were toddlers, he did it and it was just a nightmare. He's just like, men shouldn't take care of toddlers.
This is not a man for them. Maybe he's doing it for his own protection. This is something that's dangerous.
And then that's why the Washington Post came up and was like, what did you say? I'm going to write slander. And that's like not what he said at all. He was just like, I can't take care of kids. And he's like, oh, he said he shouldn't take care of kids.
He said nobody should.
Yeah. Oh,
you know what his solution is? Keep his hands.
This is nothing like what Mr. Mom was.
Use birth control products. Oh, that's all it is.
Thanks, Washington Post.
If he does have kids, though, and they hear this, they're going to be like, what the hell, Dad? Like, what happened?
Dad!
You want nothing to do with us?
It's one of those lukewarm anime families where it's like, Dad is lukewarm about the whole family, and
It's a term.
Well, that is a cultural thing.
It is a cultural
right?
thing.
That yeah. is a yeah. cultural thing. Dad is usually very cold in animes when he comes home from work.
That in anime. True. That's yeah, not
in anime. That's
or dead.
That, yes.
In most of them, there isn't a father.
But that usually comes with superpowers, okay?
That's true. That's true. That's like the rule.
Makes things better.
Or you're going out to collect monsters. I mean, no one knows where the hell Ash Ketchum's dad is.
it's Professor Oak. Let's yeah, be it's honest. Oak. It's Professor Oak.
Yep, Professor Oak's just banging all the women, and that's how all the kids are becoming trainers.
Is that a legit theory that Oak is his
Yeah,
dad?
Professor Oak's Pokemoms? Like, where it's just like everybody, like all the Pokemon, like Professor Oak is dad to all the Pokemons?
You know, wait, are you saying Pokemon?
Yeah, Pokemon.
Pokemon.
Is that what Professor Oak is doing?
The Pokemons?
Oh my god.
You know, they
really gotta bag them all. Gotta bag them all, Pokemon.
Gotta bag them all.
Oh, that would be like a really good erotic hentai game, parody game. Just like, instead of going out and catching Pokemons, it's like you're going at your Professor Oak and going out you have to catch all the Pokemon.
I guarantee you that game exists.
I don't know.
It has to.
This Honey idea Pop for Creator, if you're anime. Listening to this, create Pokemons.
Yeah. Gotta catch them all!
Gotta bag a ball!
So now Victoria is giving us an extreme face palm right now, but her smile is, I can still see her teeth.
Yeah.
So it's an okay joke. We're safe.
I don't think I've ever seen Victoria not smile since I've known her.
I'm forced to! that's the Disney brainwashing right there.
Oh, no. She's been brainwashed as well by the mouse.
It's just... I don't think I ever don't, yeah. usually.
Hey, Victoria, where is the lamp in this room?
No.
Where is the door?
No.
Point to it.
I broke that, actually.
Did you? You don't point with three fingers anymore?
It's two fingers.
Two fingers.
No, I did. I did finally break it while I was working at the bakery.
Wait, they have a thing where you can't point with one finger?
You have to point with two fingers, because if you point with one finger, that's
so
still rude, right?
So essentially what he wanted me to do is it's over here, over
yeah.
here.
How is it rude?
So supposedly in other countries it is rude.
She did it,
yeah,
by the way.
And if somebody from a different country were to come to Disney and you pointed with one finger, they'd be like,
their head would explode.
That face was great, by the way.
The
you know,
was a smoker.
I think it's in China where raising your pinky finger is the equivalent of the middle finger here in America.
That is correct.
Are you sure? I thought that was just a myth.
Nope, it's true.
Nope.
So does that mean
have
like,
you tried
white
it out?
People drinking tea
no,
are
because
just being
I dare
assholes?
Not do that.
Because there's 1.7 billion of them on this planet.
Yeah. So yeah.
He's just flipping us all off.
I'm just playing with my pinky fingers right now.
I mean, that makes me like that. I always thought the people drinking tea with the pinky was always pompous and kind of rude. And I'm like, well, now it means that they're
yeah,
assholes.
Like
well,
pinkies up and pinky
yeah,
swear.
Pinkies up.
It's like
it means
over
fuck you.
It's like over here in America, like the word fanny means your butt, but over in Britain, it's actually your lady's.
I did not know that. Thank you for letting
that?
Me know.
Yep.
Duly noted.
So fanny pack means something completely different in the UK than it does here.
We weren't allowed to call them fanny packs.
That's why they're called. Really? That's why they're called bum bags, right?
We just called them.
Are they really called bum bags, or did you make that up?
They have been called bum bags before. I don't think that's
that.
The official name for them. But.
I have heard
well,
that before. But yeah, fanny packs
bags.
Are actually
this
like,
is okay.
We're not allowed to call them a fanny pack
The two people I worry most about this is our buddies Brian and Neil from Cuckoo Kangaroo, because what happens if they go over and they sing a song called Fanny Pack in front of like 6 or 7 year olds?
I'm sure that they did do that, and I'm sure that Frank Turner said you can't play that song here.
Well, that has I have had a personal experience with that when we were kids in middle school. We had a camp counselor who was Australian, and when we went to the beach, he went to the girls and he said, "Hey, nice thongs, girls." And here in America, that's something completely different because
isn't it flip-flops?
Thongs are flip-flops in Australia. But when you go to the girls and you say, "Nice thongs, girls," in America, that means something completely different.
And then you just
please
hear a thing.
You didn't get prosecuted.
No, I mean this was back in the day when not everything was offensive and we were normal human beings.
Oh, right.
So
back in the 90s.
Yeah,
early
no,
2000s.
It was early,
it was still
early
2000s.
I don't miss those times. I miss the 90s, though.
I do, yeah.
I miss the cartoons of the 90s, back when you could get away with so much.
Well, now they're trying
much.
To remake those cartoons in, like, really weird art styles, and I don't know how I feel about
it. Yeah, make it look like Steven Universe.
I, again, We have this. You and I had this conversation.
No, we did.
She's fighting with Jonathan.
That's true. Well, yeah. Yeah, we had this conversation last time I visited, and I love Steven Universe. Like, my texting tone is actually Steven Universe. Like, I love that show. So
this I know. This is a fact.
This is true. This is old news. But oh yeah, I've cosplayed Amethyst this before. Yeah. So yeah, like I don't see that as a bad thing, but I don't feel like it's the same art style at all.
Oh, everybody's drawing Steven Universe.
This is a
because we're talking about Thundercats. But
I hope I can cut this
and
out.
I think we even brought this up when we talked about the monster.
It's okay to recap.
What were we talking? Were we talking about
this conversation sprung from sexist comments made in Japan?
Has affected you. I'm sorry.
We were talking about fathers not taking care of toddlers.
Yeah, I think that's
or rather just one bum father saying nope. Yeah. Guys should not take care of their kids because I don't like to take care of my kids.
And Washington Post quote air quotes. Writing news.
But we agreed it's the culture, not just the one guy, right?
No, that's exactly
I would never say that.
All
right. Yeah, no, you're right. So I'm just going to negate what I said to all those loving fans out there.
So. I'm going to cut that part out so it sounds like you're going to make it a cultural thing.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk anymore.
Okay, maybe we should move on.
Yeah.
Into the West.
Into the West, yes. Or do, what it was?
Let's do Into the West first.
Into the West. Okay, so let's go Into the West. This episode of Into the West, we want to talk about the gorillas. I don't think we've ever talked about the gorillas before on Into the West, but the reason why we did is because they dropped a new song. And
yes.
It's good.
Yeah,
really good. Like, I feel like that this is back to their like Demon Days, even first album sort of roots, sort of song.
Really,
I agree.
It was good. I'd probably have to listen to it a couple more times to get it. But the music video is fantastic. See, I like the music video.
For those of you with this is one with Jack Black, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
For
those of you who don't follow the lore, because there actually is a lore to the Gorillaz universe that the CDs go in order of a story. Murdoch, the bass player, got arrested.
Yes, he's in prison.
He's in prison, and that was at the end of Humans, right? Was that the end of Humans?
Yes, that was the end of Humans, because he was like, what was it? He was accepting an award, I think at the Brits or something.
Yes,
and he was in prison accepting the award.
Yeah, and so there was like a little mix-up in the lore. There's a little muddiness in the lore where between Plastic Island and Humans, the lore gets messed up because they changed the actual ending of Plastic Island and made these new crossover lores where none of them actually escaped. Like, because at the end of Plastic Island, they all escaped. But then...
You mean Plastic Beach, right?
Plastic Beach, yeah. And then when Humans came out, they mix it up so that they didn't escape, so it was really weird.
It was because it was during their fourth album, The Fall, when they escaped from the island.
Okay.
Because and then after that was that collaboration that they did with Andre 3000. And that's when you find that they're actually now living in an apartment again back in London.
Yeah. And is Cyborg Noodle still around now that old Noodle is back?
No, Cyborg Noodle is gone. It's now just regular Noodle.
Okay, and Noodle is hot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Now that she's an adult. So it's really interesting because now that Murdoch is in prison,
I've seen
there's a new bass player.
Yeah.
The new bass player is Ace from the Gangrene Gang of Powerpuff Girls.
Like, legit.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't look like it.
It's not just somebody who looks like him.
It's Ace.
It's official. It's really Ace. From the Powerpuff Girls.
I don't know how I feel about that, but I've seen
it's
that.
Awesome!
Like,
it's
he's awesome! He's a bad guy, but, I mean...
So is Murdoch! He's a sadness!
Murdoch the...
I don't know if we have any Satanists that listen to the Wicked Wonderland podcast, but...
I'm sure you're wonderful people.
Hi, Satanists! We like the band Ghost, who have a great new album called Prequel that you should all be totally listening to.
Anyways, but there's the connection.
With Powerpuff Girls, like fully.
Powerpuff Girls is awesome.
There's the connection that we wanted to make full circle here, and it's been official that they're actually the Gorillaz and Powerpuff Girls are part of the same universe. Like they live in the same universe.
I can see it.
Does this mean that Mojo Jojo was first, the failed experiment, and then the professor tried it again and made the gorillas.
No, because they're people.
There's that whole book, Slowpoke to Hate. No, it's not.
Well,
there's the autobiography of the gorillas that came out that explains their entire origin.
Oh?
Mojo was an accident.
Yeah, but he was also a monkey. But
yeah,
before
he was like a friendly pet monkey. Like, lab scientist assistant monkey that, you know, accidentally knocked over Chemical X and then was screwed.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I know my shit when it's powerful.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about his origin.
Like, they had
they
had this contest years and years and years ago that on Cartoon Network that you could win, like, enough Powerpuff Girl stuff to cover that wall.
Yeah.
And I wasn't home for the phone call, but they called, and my dad had to answer the questions to get me the stuff, and he failed. And I was so pissed at him.
Well, good for him, though.
And that's why you disowned your father.
Yeah, no, he tried. He got the first one right, and then it was the second one. He had to name, like, three villains, and he could only name Mojo Jojo and him, and then he got stuck. And I was like, why?
Yeah, how can you not forget Fuzzy Lumpkins? Come on.
Fuzzy Lumpkins.
Yeah, how about good old Fuzzy Lumpkins here? Princess. I'm going to pick up my banjo.
Just the irony of the fact that, Evan, you picked that one. I'm not even kidding you. I come from rednecks. So he should have. Like, I literally, like, we're all obsessed with country music. My uncle used to have a mullet. I have proof. And, he takes off time for NASCAR to watch it every time.
I bet he's gonna make another left turn.
Your dad drove a truck.
My dad does. My dad used to drive 18-wheelers. Both my dad and his brother drove 18-wheelers. On top of that, they both drive in demolition derbies. Like, we're real hardcore.
So, by the way, the book I was thinking of was Gorillas Rise of the Ogre, which is their autobiography that covers their origins up to the end of Demon Days, which was where Noodle goes missing after the recording of the video for El Mana.
Yes, yeah. El Manana.
El Manana.
And there's quite a few lore videos online. I the other day I watched a 20-minute video that was all the way up until the end of Humans, and they hadn't talked about what the lore could possibly mean for the new music video. Because 2D and Russell switch places almost.
They do?
Yeah, because 2D was possessed. He had Russell's white glowing eyes.
But he always has.
He has black eyes.
Oh. No, he has black eyes.
Because 2D is not blind, but visually impaired.
Oh.
So at the end of the video...
Because he had his first eye damage when he got run over by Murdoch.
Yes.
And then while Murdoch was taking care of him, they got into another accident, and that ruined the other eye. But it made his brain work again, and his voice came out the way it is now.
Yeah, so at the end of the music video, Russell has the black eyes and trips 2D, and then 2D's white eyes go away, and he goes back to the black eyes, and he can no longer skate like he could. So 2D was possessed by somebody, but we don't know who.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
But then when Russell, after he trips him, doesn't he get the white eyes back?
I don't remember. Maybe. So.
Can you send me that lore video?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll post it on
link
the
in
link.
The description.
Yeah, I'll post it in the link.
Yeah.
It would be so cool, because I know he's not going to show up in here, but it would be so amazing if they found a way to bring back Ghost Rapper Dell.
Oh, yeah, I know!
Yeah.
He was. But awesome. I know he's on a new album. Snoop Dogg is going to be on a new album. There's only to be two songs with guests on there. Everything else is going to be all, you know, 2D focused and other band members too.
That's really surprising.
As long as Snoop Dogg doesn't bring Martha Stewart, we're good. They go everywhere together, guys. Like,
they're best friends. You can't split up best friends.
Especially those with good Kush.
And that was Into the West! So, the next thing that we want to talk about, you guys have spoken on Twitter, and you've said, hey, idiots, you guys haven't done Waifu Watch since you started Con Month, idiots. So,
keep in mind, he's saying idiots because he doesn't like to say the C word.
That's the one word I won't say, so I'm not helping with that.
I don't say many four-letter words. Sometimes you hear me. Either way.
Bank.
Yeah. Fire. We want to do a waifu watch, and we didn't get any specific recommendations as far as waifu watch goes, but we have been talking about one thing for this entire season so far, and that, of course, is Sword Art Online. No, I'm just kidding. It's Umosume.
Yeah, I'm worried there for a second.
Well, have we done a Sword Art Online waifu watch?
No, and I hope we
never. No, because no one here likes it.
I miss that anime.
So
you and run it over just with my you. Car.
Wow.
So Umamusume is a wonderful show about horse girls that we've been talking about this entire season, and every episode we have a reason more and more and more to like it. Uh-oh. Greg's broken.
Just the way he said it. I'm sorry, continue. I'll laugh in quiet.
So we're going to be talking about, and we know we've had people, fans like Haru, and fans like Mega Daffy, and fans like everybody who's just like, what even is an Umamusume? I'm so afraid to start watching the show, et cetera, because there's so many waifus to choose from. And Horse Girls guys are amazing, and so is Umamusume. So
have they taken over your cat girl obsession?
No.
Okay.
That probably will never happen.
Okay, so I was like, wait a minute.
And there's only one thing that can compete with a cat girl, and that's a dog girl. So, but cat,
really?
Girls, are, cat girls are still like
really?
On top.
Okay.
Of course. duh! So, Umamusume waifus. Now, there's only three of us here who've actually started watching Umamusume, correct?
Right.
Yes.
So this
it
conversation
looks cute. It does look really cute.
Well, and like I said, it's a non-fan service, wonderfully animated, like high
See,
animation
the
budget.
That, the fact that you said non-fan service, I'm very confused.
Well, that's what's
because,
so.
I mean, like.
Well, Victoria, you haven't been on the past couple episodes, but we were so ready to hate this show. And so ready to...
It's not that we were ready to hate it. We were ready to call it trash.
And laugh at it
yes,
hard.
Yeah.
But then we watched it more and more and more and found out, oh my gosh, there's no fan service. Oh my gosh, there's an actual story. Oh my gosh, these characters are lovable. Oh my gosh, these characters have personalities. What is
oh
happening?
Oh my gosh, the comedy is actually funny and not
yeah.
just, oh, skirt was flipped up.
Yep. So waifus. And as you know, a lot of people have been to My Wife Who's Not Weird, the panel that we run at Anime Boston, and you know...
So mad I didn't get to go this year.
You have...
You would have known about Umamusume
if yeah,
you did,
would have known
we premiered
about
the trailer there.
And so we talk about waifus as a fact of, you know, oh, like, this is really fun, let's talk about waifus, and understand the science behind the why our brains pick up waifus, and that's the whole purpose of Waifu Watch, because we like to talk about... Why waifus and why waifus in series like this? So, I'll start.
Okay.
So
I have some too.
So my waifus or my potential waifu material characters in Umamusume come down to basic. Oh my gosh, that's a really cute character. Or hey, their personality quirk is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Probably from best to worst. No, I can't put them in a specific order. So there's what's her name? Amazon. I forget her name.
Sorry, my brain went straight to Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, wait, what?
Let me guess. Is she a dark-skinned character?
She is. She's the dark-skinned character with a single fang.
I'm shocked.
Your favorite look.
Yeah.
He-she Amazon.
He-she Amazon.
I've known them long enough to know. Yeah.
So he-she Amazon is one of those dark-skinned fang characters who has a snooty, bratty attitude... That is really funny. I really enjoyed those kinds of characters. Next up would be the character last episode that I couldn't get her name right. And she had that really clever, funny joke mm-hmm. that she did about how she can't race, but she's going to do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
Her name is Goldship. Golden Chip.
Yep.
And I love Golden Chip.
You know what I didn't even realize? Her name's Golden Ship. She is designed in the same way that a Kante Collection character is designed.
Is she?
Yes, yeah, she is.
She's got those headphones on the side, which some of the characters in Kante Collection have.
Right, okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
Is that the character who always injures her eye, too?
Yes, yeah. and the reason why I was getting confused at her name last mm-hmm. time is because they did one of those Japanese things and mashed her name together, and they just call her Golshi. Yeah.
So, but her name is Golden Ship. I really like her because I love her dynamic in the show where she doesn't race and she's just kind of a recruiter. And it's really funny to watch her quirkiness amongst the other girls because her personality doesn't really match towards the rest of the characters. But I love her placement in the show. Finally, as far as waifu material goes, it almost gets no screen time and I have no idea why I like her so much, but I do, probably because she's just a really well-designed character and her personality is very tomboyish, and that's Vodka. Mm-hmm. I love Vodka. I think Vodka is a really funny character, especially because she's always butting heads with that other character. Like, her character quirk is that I am going to butt heads with this other character. We're going to have a rivalry.
Yeah.
I'm just Googling them as
yeah.
I say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I figured. I just want to see. Yeah, so Victoria's...
I know how to Google things.
Yeah, I know. I can do stuff. But Victoria is also, like, Googling them as it goes.
I
want to
know who they are.
Yeah, and being like, oh, yeah, it's Andrew. Oh, yeah, it's Andrew. Oh, yeah, it's Andrew.
I've got two for this show. And I would say that my first one is Tokai Teo. She's the character who obsesses over the class president. Mm-hmm. A really, like, a decent runner in the thing, but she's, like, her character job is to obsess over the president. The president's pretty cool, too, but this character is, like, a shorter, smaller version who idolizes the president and dresses like her and everything like that, and I don't know what it is about her, but I like her. Excuse me.
I was gonna say, I don't know why, but that one just doesn't scream you, so I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and then the other one is Daiwa Scarlet.
Who is the one that butts head with Vodka.
Yeah, it, on the other end of the...
Yep,
yeah.
There it is.
So Vodka and her are the ones who are always challenging each other and butting heads and being like, oh, like, you're wearing a really cute dress. And it's just like, well, my dress is cuter than your dress. And then they, like, start fighting.
And then they hate each other. Well, I mean, who doesn't like Special Week, though, is the other question, too.
Yeah, I feel like Special Week is, like, the top tier of, like, the waifus. It's like when you look at the world God only knows and you look at all the potential waifu characters and then you're like, it's Elsie. Of course it's Elsie.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Exactly.
So,
I mean, Special Week is, you know, an obvious choice because she's the main character and clearly the most developed. So you're going to learn the most about her. So obviously, you know, she's set up for that. But the good thing about that character is that they are successfully developing her to the point where you can actually like her as a character, which is important for a show like this. Because otherwise, if the main character in the show isn't important, then you're going to end up with trash.
Who put out the show?
What are they called? What's the studio who puts out the show, Evan?
PA Works.
PA right. Works.
PA they, Works.
They've so, done things like Shirabako.
Yeah, and Shirabako is probably
and
one Sucker of the
Sucker Quest.
Yeah, it's probably one of the greatest animes ever put out. It's anime about how Japan makes anime.
Cool.
And it's not 100% accurate, but it's pretty good.
There was an anime that I was watching a little while ago that was like the girl. I think that might be Funimation because I always watch Funimation. But there was like a girl who, I think she was in video games. Maybe it wasn't.
Oh, anime. That's. Video games?
Maybe.
That's new game.
That one, yes. That's the one I thought of when
here's,
I said that.
Here's the picture of the actual Vodka.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing,
there's
too.
An actual horse?
That's the other thing, too.
Every single one of the horse girls in the show is based off of a real racing horse.
Are you serious?
And the events that happen in the show are based off of real races that they've had.
That's pretty cool.
For example, one of the characters in the show hurts her ankle and cannot race for the time being. And if you know your racehorse lore, you would have already known that was going to happen in the show because it had already happened.
Which is why it's a bummer that Derek's not here because Derek is like big.
And if, oh, the, yeah. if that's any sort of consolation, this we might know how this show is going to end because our main character, Special Week, died 5 days ago. Or rather, actually,
like
it's
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, died a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the horse actual Special Week passed away.
And that's like the main character of the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
it's like, oh no! There's gold.
Quick, we gotta rewrite the ending. It's gonna be super sad now.
Yeah, they gonna.
How did you find that out?
What
did
is
you...
it like Madoka Magica? You fall in love with everybody, and then all of a sudden your heart is just destroyed, and you want to die.
Madoka Magica made me want to kill myself.
I told you guys that's the one that they use as the distraction to keep me in the room while James is hiding in my apartment, right, for the proposal.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that story.
Oh, here's the real The real Tycho, the one that I...
That's cute.
You can actually find these horses, yeah. Like,
that's
if you
so
look them
weird.
Up. I'm seeing. That's so funny. Oh, here's Special Week.
That's really
sweet. Oh, that's awesome.
And for everybody who wants to follow along, I will put the Google link in the description so that you know what I looked up in order to find these characters. Here's the president. This is the class president. There.
That's pretty cool.
Resemblance is uncanny.
I know, right?
So it's actually kind of a bummer that I'm not in Japan right now, because I would be buying the crap out of Uma Musume merchandise.
Yeah.
I can almost guarantee that if I went to Animate is is basically any new anime that's coming out in the season,
mm-hmm.
or mangas or anything that's brand new coming out, Animate is the one that releases it, all the new stuff. So yep. When I went to Animate when I was in Japan, that's where you could find just everything merchandising. Like, they had Sakura Quest stuff. They had new game stuff. So I had bought a bunch of new game stuff. But what's the one I'm thinking of, Evan? The one
Urata Meirochi?
No, the one that we both like now, about the girl, the little girl.
Well, everything was Pop Team Epic.
And she's lazy. Damn it! Why can't I think of it?
Umaru-chan.
Okay, yeah, they had tons of Umaru-chan stuff there. Everything was Umaru-chan.
I just want to point out that the character designs based off of the real horses. I like how I was trying to figure out why all the characters in the show have like a white stripe of hair in the front, and I was like, oh, that's stupid. Why are they doing that? But the horses themselves actually have a white pattern going down their nose.
That happens a lot, like, I've noticed on horses.
It does. And I was trying to figure out why they were doing the hair thing, because it's weird that all the characters have such similar designs, but all the horses have that similar design too, which is a new thing that I learned.
Evan, we haven't talked about your waifus for Uma Musume yet.
All right, so besides Special Week, the one horse girl that I think is probably my favorite, and what makes her really interesting is the fact that despite her, like, can-do attitude, she has not won a single race yet, and that is Haru Urara.
Yeah, the pink-haired one, right?
Yes, the pink-haired one, and I love the design. And if you ever look closely at her, you'll notice that she's always covered in, like, band-aids and cuts and bruises.
Oh,
but that's
because
she's always working hard. Even though she hasn't won a single race, it doesn't change the fact that she still is determined to keep on going out there and being as best as she can be.
Also, a really good joke from the beginning of the series where she is the first friend that Special Week makes and, like, brings her to her class and everything, is introducing her to everything. And then the bell rings and she leaves, and Special Week's like, you're not even in this class!
I would say even this one is... I'm actually surprised none of you mentioned this character. I don't know if it's because she's the American in the group or not, but Elkhorn de Passa is such a great character as well.
I
like her personality, this optimistic, very loud, cheerful kind of character. She kind of has that enthusiasm that you would see someone in an American audience have compared to something like a Japanese audience.
Another good horse girl is Fuji Kiseki. Not because she has a very prominent role in the show, but I just like her design. She's got that...
kind of looks like a matador.
Yeah, well, she has like... Oh, well, that's El Condador, right?
No. Fuji Kiseki actually has like a kind of like matador kind of look to her outfit, too, if you look closely.
I'm not looking at her outfit. I'm more looking at her... Like, she has that pierced ear, like the one that's just covered with metal.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But if you look at her outfit, it looks like she's about to tame a bull.
This is the girl who runs the dorm, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah, so that's one of the things that I really loved about Uma Musume to begin with, is every single character is expertly designed.
Mm-hmm.
Every single character has a very, very, very appealing design.
They're identifiable.
Yeah, you know exactly who they are, regardless of whether you know their name or not.
They have a job. They have a job in the show.
A role, yeah.
Yeah, a role to play. So, yeah.
So, like, is everyone in the world part horse or just...
No.
Like...
No.
That's what's really interesting about the lore of the show.
If you want to go deeper into that, listen to Wicked Anime episode 139, I think. Because we talk about horse breeding in this universe and try to wrap our brains around it. Because
there are no horse boys in this show.
Okay.
And, yeah, so... Think about that.
So then when they're racing, are they playing... Are they, like, at a track meet type of thing, or
kind of because there's no betting in this show either. Like nobody in the audience is betting on these horses.
Okay.
It's kind of like watching the track running at the Olympics.
Okay, but like, do people see it as a track meet, or do they?
They see it as a horse racing event.
Like, yeah, it's like
stadium.
They're at like Kentucky Derby sized places.
Okay. I mean, I'm intrigued by it, but at the same time, I'm just like, what?
And then after they win, they do an idol dance.
Oh God.
Yeah,
okay.
but they only show that at the end of the first and second episode, and then they never show it again.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple of instances, but not in the first or the second.
Yeah, not a whole song.
So, are there career prospects like limited to horse racing?
That's pretty much. Yes, pretty much.
Oh, that stinks.
You know, they really didn't go deep into that. I would be curious because the people who make this game, Cy Games. They come to PAX East every year, and I was a little bit disappointed that when they came, they didn't have anything related to Uma Musume. But if they're there next year at PAX East, I'm pretty damn certain that they're going to be showing off Uma Musume's stuff.
Yeah, just for a little origin story for you guys who haven't been on the past couple episodes, this is based off of a mobile game. We actually talked about this Uma Musume mm-hmm. as the mobile game like 2 or 3 years ago on Wicked Anime. So, and you were probably on that episode, but it's been so long that you just...
I feel like I do feel like I've heard you mention it before.
Well, because we watched the trailer on it. Like, I actually have the mobile game trailer to it, and I still have it on my computer on this thing, so we can watch it afterwards, but it's based off of the mobile game.
All right. That's strange.
So that was life.
Well, we should tell Victoria, too, that there is no such thing as actual horses in Uma Musume as well.
What?
There's horse girls and that's it.
What?
So no horses.
There's no jockeys,
horse
right?
Boys.
No jockeys.
There's trainers though.
Yeah, no jockeys.
Who I hope there's no jockey, like someone gets piggybacked across the like.
So these trainers like train. I'm really trying to wrap.
Are the trainers horses too?
they train the girls as if they're runners, like a trainer would train a runner.
But are there trainers horse girls too?
No, they're humans.
But they're horses. All right.
It's anime, Craig.
So that means so if horses didn't exist, then that means that they just went, oh, these people are different. Let's put them in.
No, so there was at the very first episode. There's like this little. Mythical story of basically a horse god that took a horse from our world and made this horse essence in this other world. So this is like an otherworldly dimension from our world and created the horse girl.
Okay.
And they talk about it for like 5 seconds maybe in the at the very beginning of the first episode, and then they go right into special week.
Alrighty then. Do you have the first episode of this?
It's on Crunchyroll. It's all on Crunchyroll.
I feel like we need to watch at least an episode of this. I mean, otherwise, I kind of feel like I need other people to be there. Be like, what is happening?
Yeah. More data analysis is
needed. For scientific reasons.
Let's do that and let's record it. Okay, so let's talk about something very special to my heart in 18 years.
He even wore the shirt for this guy.
he is wearing his Fooly
Cooly. So 18 years ago, Fooly Cooly graced America with its presence, and it became my favorite years later, and I hunted down everything. I physically own 3 copies of the entire series.
Why 3?
Well, one was I found a bootleg copy of it when it was... When it was out of print.
Mm-hmm.
And then, slowly over the years, I tracked down the original DVD releases when they released them in 2-episode volume sets.
Okay.
Andrew found one for me for my birthday, I think. And then the third one, it was the Blu-ray release from Funimation, when Funimation re-licensed.
It's kind of the same thing with me and Elf and Lied.
I vaguely remember you getting the Blu-ray copy.
Yeah.
How many
copies do you have of
Elf and Lied?
2 or 3. So, now, last night, from the June 2nd at midnight, Fooly Cooly Season 2 premiered. 18 years later in America, 19 years if it was Japan, because it came out in Japan in 1999.
Wow.
So, how was it? It was...
I enjoyed it. It was strange. And
as expected, it was
and
strange.
And it was very much like stuff that I didn't like, which was awakening sexual behavior in children.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know how I feel about that.
It, to me, it wasn't very Fooly Cooly.
I kind of disagree. I think it was very Fooly Cooly. It was slower than the first episode.
It wasn't strange enough for me. No, seriously. Greg, you watched the first episode, and Greg is going to tell us what he thinks about the first episode of Fooly Cooly in just a minute. But I do not think season two, they played it safe. Mm-hmm. It was not the animation quality and the weirdness that was the original Fooly Cooly. They had they had great character design. So get me wrong about that. And it all looks like pencil sketch, the same way that the original Fooly Cooly was. Looks like it was hand drawn
and
everything.
The animation
like that.
Was top.
The animation was great, but they didn't push it in the same way that the original Fooly Cooly was pushed. We didn't have characters with that Super D moment that they do. Although the first character that turned into like that little cat silhouette, but that was as weird as it got.
Yeah.
They might be, like, just testing the waters with the first one.
They could be, but I think that the majority of their audience are going to be people who have already seen Fooly Cooly 1.
True,
yeah.
She is a very cute main character.
She is. She's great.
Which I'm hesitant to say because she's a middle schooler, but I'm not talking about cute as in, like, oh my gosh, waifu material. I'm talking, it's just, characters can be cute. Mm-hmm. Characters can be cute. She's cute.
Right. It could also be network television, so they have to kind of, as Victoria said, like, pushing, testing the envelope type thing. They want to make sure they're not crossing any lines.
And they don't get cut off the
air. Well, yeah. But they also don't want to, I mean, because they're not doing anything that's unsafe. They're kind of playing it safe is the thing. And I think because it's been so long since the first Fooly Cooly that the audience is a little bit different now.
Yeah.
So it can't be this, we're reintroducing you to Fooly Cooly. It's absolutely insane. Because people will just be like, I don't understand this. I don't get it. What's happening? So this is a little bit more comfortable leading into it.
Yeah. And that I think that was part of it too. Even though I also don't think that they gave us enough information as well. Because at the end of the first episode of Fooly Cooly, the robot comes out of Naota's head. And that's great and dandy. But at the end of this first episode too, something else comes out of the main character girl's head, and it's almost like we weren't ready for it. There wasn't enough explained to us in order for that to happen. As opposed to the original Fooly Cooly, where we were like, all right, a robot just came out of Naota's head and he's fighting another robot. Great. I am ready for this. We did not feel this way in this episode. I felt like there was much more that needed to be explained. Greg.
Yes.
You saw the first... I showed you the first episode before we started recording.
Yes, I'm still brand new to Fooly Cooly. I just put it on my list of animes to watch since I'm still a novice at all this fun stuff.
Yeah.
And,
you target a lot of novices and then turn them slowly.
Yeah.
That's our pet project. It's awful. It's terrible.
No, I think it's amazing.
Corrupting people as we go.
Yeah. I love being the guinea pig. So, John was telling me about how this is his favorite anime, and I was like, yeah, I want to try watching it. So we threw on the first episode, and man, did I not understand crap about it.
Yeah.
But I did
That's kind of the point.
I did have a theory about what it could be.
And this is the part that I wanted to hear.
I want to say it's something to do with, he seems to have this, like, he's, like, afraid of, like, female characters, and he's just, like, not comfortable talking with girls or something. Maybe this is a point in his life where he's starting to go through puberty, because he looks like he's 9 or 10. But what really throws me off is these older girls who are, like, I think, what, 15, 20 years old, are, like, hanging out with him and, like, touching him inappropriately. And I'm just like, what's going on here? So maybe there's been, like, abuse in his past or something that I'm not catching, and I feel like I'm way off base on this, but this is the only thing I could really gather.
You're not 100% wrong. I'm not going to tell you what you're right and wrong about.
Okay.
But it is mainly focused on, like, Fooly Cooly is a coming of age story. Actually, It's an adolescent story. Yeah, I actually have, there's a couple of really good videos out there. A couple good video essays on YouTube that really explain Fooly Cooly, because it's not a coming of age story. It's mainly about a kid who, like, adolescence and being 10 years old is weird.
Right.
So therefore, weird things happen around you. And that's kind of the direction that the story goes in. Because, like, when you're 10 years old and you look at the adult world, because there's a lot of adults in Nauta's life, and he's looking at all these adults not acting like adults.
I don't think I ever realized he was 10.
Yeah, he's 10 or 11.
Oh my god.
He seemed really young.
I remember, I thought he was 12.
No, because he hasn't been, he's in elementary school still. He hasn't gone into middle school.
Well, I know at the end of this first season, he is starting in middle school. Because yes. I thought, because that's when you, because for me, I started middle school when I was 12 years old.
Right. So I honestly, I think he's.
But they also go to,
they go to school at different times.
I think they go to sixth grade is grade school for them, I think.
You might be right.
So he would be 11.
Yeah, I think he was 11.
Wow.
But that's the idea, is that, like, there's all these adults around Nauta, and they're all acting strange. They're not acting the way that they're supposed to be doing.
Okay, I actually have it here. Nauta is a 13-year-old protagonist.
No way. Is?
Yeah.
That's too old.
That surprises me.
He sounds way too young for 13.
Nah, not necessarily. 13-year-olds think they're older than they really are. So.
That really does surprise me. I did not know that, and that's something new to me. But regardless, that doesn't change the fact that...
Shh, Sage, your favorite series.
That is a time where the world around children, both, like everybody...
Puberty.
Their worlds are changing. And so that's kind of what the show's about, is how weird the world is when it changes around you.
I also feel like he's being peer pressured is a theme in this. And one of the things I picked up on, although it's a little clue to me, is the cigarette, and on his shirt, it says like 90 degree. And to me, that says straight edge. And the girl, I forget her character name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
Has a cigarette in her mouth. And it's like maybe
never knows best
to trying to pressure him into like doing drugs. And he wants to like stay straight edge, like with the shirt.
That's an interesting observation, but that 90 degrees is part of a baseball diamond.
And okay.
So, I mean, at face value, that's what it is, just so you know.
Okay.
It's a baseball diamond. And yeah, so I mean, maybe I've never thought of that before. You know, that he's the only straight edge character in the show.
He's the right angle.
Else around him is,
yeah. Where everybody else is like all, you know, cigarette wavy. I don't know how a cigarette bends like that, by the way, because it was not straight. It was like going like this in her mouth. And I was like, what?
So when it comes to the premiere of season 2, we're introduced to this female character who we don't know her origins and we don't know her connection to the rest of the Fooly Cooly story.
Yep.
And what's the name of the company called?
Medico Mechanica.
Is still a presence, but it's not the same Medico Mechanica. It's a different division of Medico Mechanica, because her mother, this is the most mysterious character to me, mm-hmm. of the brand new season. Her mother says in the show, you know, oh, this is, it looks the same as my old town.
Yeah.
So that's just an intro. And my mind was blown just by the fact, because I was like, who is this character?
Yeah.
And we don't know. They do not tell you who she is. And then she says, I wonder where he is. I wonder if he's coming back. And I'm like, who is she talking about? And it's driving me insane, because that's just crazy. Is this Mamini? Is the mom Mamini?
I don't think so.
Well,
who was the other girl that was with the big eyebrow guy?
Oh, yeah.
You mean that dark-skinned girl?
Yeah, yes. The dark-skinned girl who is Commander Amuro's assistant. Definitely not her. Pretty sure it's not.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
Because it's that, her, or could it be... I can't believe I'm blanking on her name too. The girl who gets the Nina Mori. Yes,
you can think it could be Eri Nina Mori.
That was actually before I thought in my head that the mother could be Mamimi. My first thought was, oh, this is Nina Mori, and I don't know why I thought that. But
I'm thinking because okay, so I haven't watched it yet, but from what you're saying is considering the fact that she is wearing cat-eared headphones and the episode 3 had Nauta with the cat ears, I'm thinking it could be her. I'm thinking it could be Nina Mori.
It could be, and especially because the mother has brown hair. We haven't seen the father yet, and the daughter has black hair. Nauta has black hair. But we don't know.
I don't think there's any relation whatsoever.
But! So here's... yeah, it's true. And that, then there's that theory that it has nothing to do with any of the old characters. But we have this really interesting perspective. Because in the first episode, we're introduced to basically the main cast that we're going to be watching the whole series. And so there's a boy in the class. In this series, we're following the girl. Mm-hmm. And she is taking on the role of Mamimi, not as like a bratty, smoking older woman, but as the girl, how Mamimi says, "I'm about to overflow," and her head hurts. That's what's happening to her. And she's watching from an outside perspective this other kid in her class who has a Band-Aid on his forehead, and he says, "Oh, it's weird, my teacher is living with me. I don't know what's happening." And that's what happened to Nauta, because Haruko was living at Nauta's house.
The difference is this new character, this boy in the classroom, is bragging about his teacher.
To his friends, who's just like, "Ah, pretty woman is living with me." And they're like, "Oh, you're sleeping with her?" And I was like, okay, these are middle school students. This is odd.
There's a new character with a bass guitar.
Yes.
Who comes after our cat ear headphone main character. And she doesn't have a Vespa. She has like a classic,
like a Transit,
like a Cadillac that she drives in. And this Cadillac runs over our main character girl with, and the thing, there's some clear polar opposites that I was questioning from the Fooly Cooly 1 and Fooly Cooly 2. One, she says, that was really, she gets out of the car and says, "That was really close. She was about to overflow." Mm-hmm. The second thing she says is to the mother, "I'm sorry, ma'am. It turns out that your daughter is still alive, and she's unfortunately going to be fine." As opposed to the first episode of Fooly Cooly, where Nauta is not close to overflowing at all, and Haruko is trying to get something out of his head, and she is devastated that she could have killed him. Mm-hmm. So there are polar opposites going on between these two characters here that I don't know whether or not it has to do with the fact that one of the characters was male and one of the characters was female, and you treat that awakening differently than. And so I think that the goal of Fooly Cooly 2 is to say what would happen if this was coming from a female perspective. We're not focusing on the male of this series because we already know what happens with a male with Nauta. But in this series, we have a female. Why is it different? How is it different? That's what we're going to find out.
I'm excited. I look forward.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing more.
I have other notes.
Plus, I like her headphones.
Yeah, they're literally like what Greg's wearing right now.
Meow.
Yeah.
There is a scene in the where we see this girl, our new main character. She has a job. She's a waitress in a cafe.
And her mom's cafe. Because they live upstairs and the cafe's downstairs.
Yeah, and Nauta's family owned a bakery. And now they own a cafe.
And they lived upstairs and the bakery was downstairs.
Yep. It's pretty much like literally the exact same house, too. So who is mom? We've already covered. In the cafe, there was a part where these old guys were talking.
That's
and
right.
Sitting across from this old guy, there was a dude wearing a hat who had red hair, and they specifically covered up his eyebrows with the baseball cap.
So it could be very much Commander Amuro.
It could be. And he looks the same age, if not younger.
He should be much older.
So because of that, I think Amuro is actually going to be a character in this at some point, and he's going to come back, and he's going to... Because, I mean, if Haruko is still around, then so should Amuro.
Yeah.
They were the polar opposites of each other, and they were the two that drove the story home as who was good and who was evil. And the decision making between the characters. So we'll find out. But I am looking, obviously I'm looking forward to more Fooly Cooly too. Who wouldn't be if you were a fan?
So first we're getting Progressive, right?
Yep.
It's Fooly Cooly Progressive is season two, and then Fooly Cooly Alternative is season three.
Yeah, which is coming out.
And I've seen the first episode when they did the whole April Fool's thing, and I don't know if I remember mentioning it on the show, but it isn't as wacky as Fooly Cooly the original was, but it has that indie film vibe that Fooly Cooly the original series had, though.
Yeah. Which reminds me, the soundtrack is awesome.
Yes, we should. Yeah, I was actually just about to say that we should talk about the soundtrack. The new Pillows music really works with it. It is awesome.
I was very happy that they played Little Busters at the end of the first episode.
They did it the same way, the same exact formula that they did with the original Fooly Cooly, but the Pillows have a new remastered recorded version of Little Busters for this series. They re-recorded it.
Yay.
Nice.
Which means that when they start their American tour,
what,
this summer, I imagine that they are going to be playing at least Little Busters,
which you and Evan have already bought your tickets for.
Yes.
Yes. And is sold out too, by the way. They first sold out at the Sinclair, and they were like, let's move it to someplace bigger. And then that sold out as well.
Yep.
Which I've seen the Pillows. I saw the Pillows back in 2008. I could not get a ticket, not because I didn't buy one before they were sold out, but because I cannot take time off of work to go see them.
Right.
They're playing on a Tuesday.
Yeah. That's tough.
It's really tough.
It is tough.
And but I've already taken all my time off.
We should make the note that we've actually known about this tour for months, but we were sworn to secrecy.
This was, I think we talked about it on the last episode, that we have inside information on something special that's happening.
No, it was a couple. It was a few episodes
ago. Oh, I know it was a few episodes back, but this was the inside information that we knew about. We knew that the Pillars were coming along, so we were prepared for this. Because we're special.
But I'm wondering, here's my thought for the concert, is because if you look up the concert, it says the Pillows featuring Fooly Cooly,
which is really interesting.
Two things that I'm wondering. One, are we going to see something new Fooly Cooly during this concert? Probably not. Two, are they going to be playing old stuff? Are they going to be playing 20?
For sure.
Yeah, are they going to be playing 20-year-old tracks for this concert?
I'm pretty sure that they're going to playing a mixture of old and new. I mean, they still play a lot of their classic stuff today.
I mean, you can't have a Pillows concert and they don't play Ride on Shooting Star and Little Busters. I mean, come on!
Even if you saw the Adult Swim interview with the Pillows, they said that Right on Shooting Star was if they skipped out on Fooly Cooly, it would have been the biggest mistake of their career.
Yeah,
that's what they said during the interview. So,
and they were saying, "What, we were kind of rude to the guy. He wanted something like One Life, and we gave him this song, and it was like, oh, this is awesome. So it was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Well, that's great. Yeah."
Because they had that mentality of, oh, we don't want to sell out, and we think about doing like a song for something. It feels like, oh, maybe we're doing something like for a commercial or something along those lines. That was a mentality that they had when they were first brought into this concept of Fooly Cooly. But then when they realized, oh, this show made them big, not just in Japan, but also the rest of the world.
Right.
I mean, that's when they realized, oh, if we had really screwed this up, we may not have been as popular as we are now.
So we don't really have too much time to go through any kind of fan service that we may have received this episode. Sorry, unfortunately. But next episode, we can discuss a little bit more after we've kind of gone through anything that we've gotten and received.
Yeah, I was too busy talking about the things that I want.
He was so excited that it was going to be a Fooly Cooly episode.
But, of course, you can always email us and we'll get back to you. If you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com, where most of you guys always seem to message us because you like hanging out with us on Facebook. You can find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can message us, look up our news articles, comment on any links that we may have posted. You can find out about our events that we're going to, anything that you wanted to learn about the Wicked Anime community. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime if you're not listening to the podcast right there, right now, because you can also find the podcast on places like iTunes and Stitcher and Podchasers and pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. You can also just Google search Wicked Anime Podcast. You'll find us that way. And of course, at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, you can also find our videos, but you want to go find the videos over at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews.
We have new videos.
Yeah, we just posted our interview videos with Steve Bloom, Mary Elizabeth McGlynn,
and so Stephanie Shea.
The Mary Elizabeth McGlynn interview is probably one of the best interviews that Wicked Anime has ever done.
I met her when I was at Comic-Con, and I went back to her like 3 times, and she was so nice.
Yeah, we have.
She also blessed my dice.
Me and Jonathan have a selfie with Mary Elizabeth McGlynn.
I do too.
And she had bought a new set of dice that she in Boston, and she brought it with her.
Yeah, she should.
It was really great, and she was phenomenal to talk to. Yeah. I loved every second of that.
Very open, very free.
James loved her because she's a Star Wars person.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she was right next to her now fiance, I believe, Steve Bloom.
Yep.
And
yeah, they were
yelling at each other. Like, he'd be like, yeah, everybody's going down. Like, just being like all rebels. And she just kept yelling rebel scum at him, and it was awesome. It was a beautiful time. I love her so much.
Yeah, they're great. And the Steve Bloom interview is also really good because the questions that I asked him, he had some really, really unique and fun reactions to them, especially when I asked him about what's the worst job he's ever had.
Oh.
Ew, yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's such a funny story. So go check those out on youtube.com/wickedanimereviews and give us a subscribe, hit that bell for notifications, and of course, you can always... Well, I mean, the bell doesn't really... You have to kind of... YouTube is being dumb now, but, you know, what can you do? So, and then, of course, you can find us on all the social medias. You can find us at Twitter. You can tweet us at YoWickedAnime. You can find us on Tumblr at wickedanime.tumblr.com. You can find us at WickedAnnaPlay at twitch.tv, where we play video games. I have a new gaming computer now, so now I can stream right from home when I'm playing on my computer. I've actually started playing that RPG on Steam, which is you have to fight Hiragana. It's basically learn Japanese to survive. You can only do damage to the Hiragana enemies if you know what the Hiragana says. So it's a game that teaches you how to read Hiragana while you fight it, but I already know all Hiragana, so the game is really easy to me. but maybe I'll stream that on Wicked Anime Play every once in a while. So, I think that's about it. Evan, where would you like them to find you?
All right, so for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at kingbaby.esh on the J-pop anime and video games amino pages at kingbaby.esh and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and facebook.com/landofesh, and don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smash Rook. Now, No Borders No Race is coming up to its 200th episode.
Wow.
I've got yes. 200th episode is coming up very soon. 200th podcast episode specifically, because I've been doing No Borders No Race since 2006 when it was a college radio show. Which, by the way, No Borders No Race comes from the quote from Sawao Yamanaka of The Pillows, "I believe good music has no borders, no race, and is timeless." So it is safe to say that without Fooly Cooly, what I'm doing right here, right now, would not be even... I have no idea what I would be doing right now, basically, if it wasn't for Fooly Cooly, because that's how important of an anime series that was to me. So hopefully for episode 200... it'll feature myself, John Starr, Andrew. We might have our good buddy from Abstract Japan, Tyler Abstract, involved. Hopefully also Elite for Derek. I don't quite know exactly what we're going to plan. I do have some ideas for segments that we can discuss, but who knows? That's going to be coming up, oddly enough, on the day that the Pillows are playing in Boston on July 10th. That's going to be when episode 200 should be coming up.
That's going to be great. The only unfortunate thing is that we're not going to be able to tell them about the Pillows concert on the 200th episode.
Right, so we'll have to wait till the next episode of Wicked Anime to discuss that.
Yeah.
But great. Other than that, as people know, I'm now living under the same roof as Elite Four Derek, which is kind of sad for this episode because he's
totally ironic.
Travel, but he's not here today. But we're hoping to do some live streaming of video games pretty soon, too. So you can check that out at twitch.tv/omnistryinc, which is OMNISTRYINC. I don't know exactly when we're going to start doing that, but we'll figure something out sooner or later.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. We cannot wait to bring you the next episode where we're going to talk about something. Most likely anime related.
Now that I'm back to
horse girls
of like not having to pay for everything and actually being allowed to have a life, I am willing to, I'm like scared to say it, but willing to attempt other games.
It's ironic that you talk about you that you have time to have a life and you choose to do an anime podcast and play video games.
I mean, that's the best kind of life. What you talking about? We just got Fallout 4. I'm not gonna have a life after that. But but yeah, I'm willing to attempt horror games again. But no VR, please, for the love of God. I need to work up to that, okay?
That's right, I wouldn't let you play
that
my
was
VR
scary
system
the
anyway.
One time I did it.
Nobody touches my VR system.
I would break it. I would probably break it. But yeah.
We should have her play the VR bar fighting game.
I haven't even played that one yet. I should.
I mean, if it's like fist fights, I could probably handle myself.
Oh, no. We should have her do 3D Kanojo.
Yeah, that would be funny.
That would be funny.
What is it?
VR Kanojo, the VR girlfriend.
Oh dear God.
And by, it's a porn game.
Yeah, by Illusion, the biggest anime porn maker in all of Japan.
Oh my God.
By the way, yeah. I actually saw screenshots of the new one that they're making, and damn, it actually looks really good.
Yeah, the summer one.
You guys can have games for that one, okay?
But if you have James play that, he might leave you for the fictional girlfriend.
He might never leave the VR system.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Just like Sword Art Online. It's like we're having a real anime.
Why do you hate it so much?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I get it. Well, it derailed from what it should have been.
We don't hate. We've explained this to our fans many times. We don't hate it so much. It's just way too easy.
Okay. Yeah. All right. No, you're right. Yeah. Like, predictable.
So, with that, it is time to sign off the only way we know how.
But hopefully, as I progress living in the apartment, my sleep cycle will get back to normal.
Oh, for sure.
I had I very rarely have night terrors, but I do every once in a while. And usually, the night terrors that I usually have are like I'll have a bug on me, just like a bug. No, it's not like a swarm of bugs or something, but it's like a bug on me. It's like a spider or there's something flying at my face, and I'll swat at it. Which I haven't hit anybody yet with that, but eventually I probably will.
Yeah.
Probably warn your future wife. I'm
yeah.
Just saying.
And then like I'll throw off the covers, I'll run and I'll turn the lights on to the room and then I'll have to check it out until I realize, oh, I was dreaming that and I can go back to sleep cause I'm not crazy. but
yeah, jumping out of bed, swatting at the air and turning on the lights, definitely not crazy.
Yeah. But like two nights ago, I had a brand new night terror that I never had before.
Oh?
And there was a dark female figure standing over me on my bed. I was lying in my bed and there was somebody like staring at me.
Tomie?
Yeah, right. Well, that would be okay in my case because I would win that fight. I'd just kill her. So
with the bug.
No, you can't kill her because when you chop her up, she becomes more to me eggs.
Yeah, well, that's fine. It's as long as I get away with it.
with the bug, was it like a wild flail or was it like a precise slapping motion?
It's very wild important. Flail. Yeah, it's a wild flail. It's like shooting a musket. You don't know what it's going to hit. It's just... It's just a voluntary action.
Don't keep a lamp too close to you.
Yeah, because your brain perceives it somewhere, so your hand perceives it wherever your brain sees it. So
don't. Okay, I just what don't ever sleep in the same bed as John. That's all I'm gonna say.
You don't want to snuggle up with me?
Oh, am I kidding? I love you.